Father, we thank you today for your goodness. We thank you for your power, your presence here. Lord, you're the great teacher. You're the instructor. There are things that people need to hear today that I don't even know, but you know, Lord. So even as I speak, I thank you that my lips are anointed, the words are anointed, and your spirit breathes life into them for your people so that they will have direction, clarity, and the wisdom from God that they need for their life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We've been talking about faith. And last week we shared with you from Hebrews 4:3 about those who believe or those who are now in faith enter rest. Do you remember that? Yeah. Yeah, we called it the rest of faith because there's a rest that comes about as a result of faith. When you're in faith, you're at rest.
Yes. Yes.
If you're in doubt, you can be anxious all day long. But you know that's how you can tell if you're in faith. You got anxiety lingering around. There's something you're not believing God for. Amen. But we said that those who are in faith are at rest. And, you know, we used that actual verse that we looked at was a comparison to the promised land. The promised land, Canaan land, in the Old Testament was actually a picture, as a symbol of people entering into rest, entering into faith. It was actually a picture of people believing in Jesus. And what happens when they enter into faith, into belief in Jesus, they rest. Amen. So the promised land was a land where God told him, he said, you're not going to have to build houses. You're not going to have to plant vineyards. It's all been done for you. And in that verse, at the end of the verse, it said, the work has been done since the creation of the world. Amen? And I'll tell you that today, saints. Your salvation has been completed since the foundation of the world.
Right. Amen.
Amen? So you can just rest. You can rest. By the way, those that don't know, and I've said this many times before, but you may be new to us, the word Jerusalem actually means teaching of peace, teaching of peace, Salem, you know, Jeru, Salem, teaching of peace. And what is the most strife-ridden, tense place on earth right now about? Jerusalem, right? What place has the most tension and, you know, potential conflict hanging over it right now like a black cloud? Jerusalem in Israel, amen? What an irony, isn't it? That the place that actually means teaching of peace is constantly surrounded by so much conflict. But that's the devil's way. See, he's constantly trying to attack that which God brings us into, which is peace. Amen? And so that's why we're told in the Bible, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. In fact, we're going to do that right now. Would you stand with me before I go any further? I don't want to forget to do this. Israel is at a crossroads right now, having successfully annihilated two evil men, thank the Lord, who needed to go, that were the heads of these terrorist organizations. But, you know, they're at a point now where they know they're in readiness, high readiness, because they know that retaliation is on its way, and it could be very, very detrimental. But God, amen?
Yeah.
So would you lift your hands to heaven as we pray? Father, we thank you for Israel today, surrounded by the armies of heaven, the chariots of fire, the angels, the warring angels. Now, Lord, we lift up a standard against the enemy by faith as your church. We stand with Israel. We lift up those who have lifted us up. They gave us our Messiah. Now we, in the name of Jesus, give them peace with our faith. We give them protection by our faith and our words. We thank you for shielding them from evil, Lord, delivering them in every turn, Lord, in the days ahead. We say that no weapon fashioned against them will have success in Jesus' name. And you preserve life and you save life in both regards in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Another example of rest we find in the Bible is speaking in tongues. By the way, if you're fighting stress, the best thing you can do is speak in tongues.
Yes.
Why? Because Isaiah the prophet, when he was declaring what this heavenly gift would do for people who are in the new covenant, he said this: this is the rest. This is the refreshing, the place of repose, right? You ever taken a nap in a hammock?
Yes.
You ever taken a good nap in a hammock on the
yes.
beach?
Yes.
One of the best naps I ever had. I've had two amazing naps in my life. One, I was on a mission trip and in southern Mexico. It was really hot. And one day we took a trip out to the beach and we all just kind of played in the water. And you know, that'll exhaust you out in the salty water. And then there was a little restaurant right up on the beach, and we all us guys just kind of huddled in, and they had hammocks for each one of us. And we just kind of got in there, and just after that salt water bath, you know, and you just kind of in the sun, just swaying back and forth, that was a great nap. The other time I took a great nap was at the top of Mount Michael in Papua New Guinea in 1985. My wife and I had just gone on a missions trip, and on the last day of the trip, the guys, we were up in the mountains there, and the guy said, tomorrow morning, let's go climb Mount Michael. So we decided to, we hadn't trained for it. What idiots. Young people are just, they're just brave. This is why we, we pay them to storm the beaches of Normandy, right? So we climbed this mountain. It was 7 hours up. We got up there, and we took a nap. And we had some lunch, and then we took a nap. That was good sleeping after 7 hours of a mountain climb, let me tell you. Why did I talk about that? Oh, yeah, speaking in tongues. Speaking in tongues will put you in a state of rest.
Amen.
Why? Because the Holy Ghost is never stressed about anything.
Never.
I don't care what's going on in your life that stresses you. If you start to pray in the Spirit, you start to just speak in tongues and speak out that heavenly language, the Holy Spirit will draw you into a place of rest.
Yes.
It may make no sense. Nothing else might have changed in your circumstance to give you a reason to be at peace, but the Holy Spirit will minister peace and rest to you. So if you need peace and rest in your life, hey, one of the best ways to avoid stress, speak in tongues.
Amen.
Amen. It is the rest. It is the refreshing. It's a healthy way to counter stress. And stress is killing people left and right. You know that. Doctors have confirmed that one of the big health issues in our day is stress. And you got to make the choice to stay out of stress. Amen? Praise the Lord. Now, when the Bible talks about entering into His rest, what we looked at last week, Hebrews 4:3, it says, those who don't believe will not enter into God's rest. And that's represented by the 2 million or so Jews who said, the giants are going to kill us. We got to go back to Egypt. You remember the story?
Mm-hmm.
Only two men stood up in faith. Who were they?
Joshua
and Caleb. My grandson was there. And
yes.
Joshua and Caleb stood up in faith against all the other voices of a nation, an entire nation in unbelief. And they stood up and said, we can do it. God has given us the land. We can go in. Let's go for it. And the rest of the country was saying, no, we don't want to die. Let's go back to Egypt. And they all died in the wilderness.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that picture is a picture of believers who don't enter God's best. Jesus came and provided not only a ticket from hell to escape eternal damnation, but a way to enjoy great life, abundant life. Amen. And you know, there's a lot of Christians who are saved. They've got their ticket for eternity, but they're suffering in this life needlessly. For example, if they don't believe in healing, they're suffering needlessly. When their body gets sick, they don't turn to the Lord as their healer. They suffer. And some of them will die prematurely because they did not believe in Christ, their healer. Amen? But Jesus has provided healing. We know that here. Amen? We teach that here. We believe it. Jesus came to not only give us a ticket from hell, but life in this life, good quality of life. Amen? Healthy life. And so not entering God's rest is a picture of those who suffer because they don't take the provision that God has. I like what Smith Wigglesworth said. He said, many stop at the threshold when God is inviting them into His treasury. Many stop right at the threshold, right? I'm saved, but then they suffer all through life. They don't take any other blessing. Listen, salvation is definitely the greatest blessing, is it not?
Yes.
I mean, thank God for salvation. But Jesus didn't come just to give us a future eternal experience. He came to give us life now. Amen?
Yes.
Life now. Praise the Lord. That's why the writer of Hebrews says this, We will suffer if we neglect such a great salvation. He didn't say such a salvation. He said a great salvation. Amen. What you and I have been given is a great salvation. And we're just starting to scratch the tip of the iceberg, so to say, in discovering what Jesus really came to give us. Amen. But I'm telling you, it's good, saints.
Amen.
It's a good life.
Right.
It's the best life. Amen. Yes. It's better than what Adam and Eve had in the garden. How can I say that? Well, because they didn't have Jesus on the cross back then. When they sinned, they paid a price. When we sinned, we have what? The cleansing of the blood. We got it better than Adam and Eve. Amen. We got it better in this life. Hallelujah. Last week we made the comment, I want to reiterate this too. Your victory in these things we're talking about, your victory in health, prosperity, family relations, any area of your life you're believing God for, your victory is not just for you. Why do we need to fight? Why do we need to press in? Why do we need to slay the giants that are before us? Because your victory is not just for you. It's for someone else. And you're in a battle now. You may be fighting something now in your life. You say, I'm just getting tired. This thing is just wearing me out. Stay true to the course.
Amen. That's it.
Because the victory that you're pressing in toward is not just for you. It's for somebody else you're going to meet in life that you can give that victory to by faith. Amen? That's why we fight, not just for ourselves. Praise the Lord. You know, Paul described our salvation in these wonderful terms. There's these great phrases all throughout his writings, such as unsearchable riches. Unsearchable riches. Here's another phrase he uses. It passes knowledge. The love of God, he says, passes knowledge. He said this, it's the exceeding greatness. Exceeding greatness. Are you starting to get the picture?
Yes.
It's beyond what we can comprehend. That's our salvation. Amen?
Amen.
Why do we come to church? To learn more about what you've really been latched onto in this thing we call salvation. You come to church because God reveals through the pastor, the prophet, apostle, evangelist, teacher, the revelation of what has happened to you since you got saved. Here's another phrase he uses, surpassing glory. Surpassing glory. Imagine glory as bright as you can, and it's God's true glory is surpassing that. Amen? You can't imagine that good. You can't imagine that bright. He says this, thanks be to God for His unspeakable gift. Unspeakable. There's no words to describe it. When you really start to partake of what Jesus has given you, what He died to give you, it's unspeakable. We can't hardly describe it in our human language. That's why we turn it over to speaking in tongues. Amen? When you speak in tongues, you're releasing the truth of the mysteries of heaven, the mysteries of your salvation that your mind can't comprehend in English. It's greater than you can tell in the English language. I like what someone said yesterday. I heard them talking. They said, you know, God speaks all languages. He invented them all. And then some. Paul said, if I speak in the tongue of men and of angels, there are languages and dialects in heaven even that angels speak. And listen, no tongue can tell, no language can describe fully the wonders of our God. Amen. We must have that flow of the Holy Ghost in our life. If you don't have it, stay around after service. We'll pray you'll get it. Amen. Praise the Lord. So I just want to start off by saying this. I'm not greedy. I just want everything Jesus died to give me. I want it all. Why? Because if He suffered for it, there must have been a reason. He wanted to get it to me, and He wants to get it to you, and that's why He was willing to suffer like He did.
Yes.
And it's a shame when Christians don't partake of the fullness in this life, and they suffer. The old hymn comes to mind that says, oh, what peace we often forfeit, right? Oh, what needless pain we bear. And Christians are real good about bearing that stuff. I meet Christians regularly that say things like, oh, well, you know, God just put me in this circumstance, or God put this sickness on me to teach me something. No, He didn't. He whipped His Son brutally prior to the cross so that you could be healed of every scourge of disease. He paid the price for you to be free. You don't need to bear it in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn to Acts chapter 20. We're just getting started. Praise the Lord. Acts chapter 20. This is an amazing verse, as all verses are, but it's one of my favorite. Acts chapter 20, Paul, the apostle, has called together the elders or pastors from Ephesus. There were numerous pastors, numerous church leaders. He called them together, and he was in one place. He called them from their city, said, come, I'm here now, come meet me, and then I'm going to travel on to Jerusalem. It may be the last time you see me. And he's had this meeting with these guys. And in the midst of this meeting, this is one of the things he says. Look at it there in verse 32, Acts chapter 20, verse 32, a very potent verse. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace.
Yes.
You should highlight that word grace, circle it, underline it, put red arrows around it. If there's a way to illuminate it, do that too. Which is able to build you up. Build you up. What does grace do? It builds us up. And it's able to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified.
Amen.
What does that mean? I have no idea, but we're discovering it. Amen? There's an inheritance for you and I. I'm going after mine. I don't know about you, but Jesus has left us an inheritance. And it's not just for when we get over into glory. We won't need it then. Did you know there's no taxes in heaven? No property taxes, no nothing taxes. Mud taxes, all taxes, sales tax. There's none of that. When we get to heaven, you could just sit around all day if you want. No fire ants will get you. No mosquitoes will get you. They're not going to come knocking on your door and say, hey, you're late with your electricity payment. I don't have any electricity payments up here. God is my light day and night. Amen?
Amen.
It's going to be glorious. It's going to be glorious. But we have an inheritance that we can draw from now. What I'm trying to say is you don't need money in heaven. You need it now. You need it here. Unless you already got enough. Some of you don't seem interested. But, you know, this Bible tells me right here that we have an inheritance in Jesus. The word of His grace does two things. If you're taking notes, write this down. It builds us up. It gives us an inheritance. That's what the word of His grace will do. This happens as you hear the word. What does it mean, word of His grace? It means to hear what Jesus has given you. That's why we come to church, to hear all about what Jesus has given us. Amen? The word of His grace, the word of His gift to you. That's what the word of His grace is. And as you hear it, anointed preaching about the anointed one, you'll begin to actually walk into it. You can hear yourself out of debt. You can hear yourself out of sickness. You can hear yourself out of depression. You can hear yourself out of confusion. You can hear yourself out of ignorance. You can hear yourself out of any problem you're facing if you'll sit long enough and hear the word of His grace. It will build you up. It will give you an inheritance. What is an inheritance? It's something you didn't earn.
That's right.
It came to you by virtue of who you're connected with.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm up for that. How about you?
Yes.
Speaking of the anointing, the anointed one, let me say this. In Luke 4:18, we read it often here in the church before we have our altar calls. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, right? Because He's anointed me. Preach good news to the poor. One of the things that's listed there in Luke chapter 4 that Jesus said is He came to preach or proclaim freedom for the captives. That's what I'm doing here today in preaching the word of His grace to you. I am declaring freedom. You say, I'm not captive. I live in America. I know. But we're captive up here. I say we're captive up here. What is a captive? It's someone who's limited. They've got limitation on their movement. They can only go in this room. Because they're in prison, they can't go in the cell next to them. They can't go in the hallway. They can't get out of the building. A captive is captive, right? They can move around whatever length of chain they've been given in that situation. That's their operating space. Well, God came to free you and I of our limits. Amen? A captive is someone who's got limitations. And all of us got it in some area or another. You may have been brought up under a parent who was very tight-fisted when it came to generosity. At Christmas time, you got an apple or a walnut or whatever. You didn't get much. There wasn't generosity flowing in the home. That's a limitation in your mind. And if you grew up under that, you'll see God that way. As a miser, you'll be very limited in your understanding of what your Heavenly Father feels towards you, and it's not the truth. The one who created Niagara Falls wants to lavish on you with that kind of picture, that symbolism. That's the kind of outpouring that comes from the heart of our Father to us. Amen? That's the grace of our God toward us. So the good news is, you don't have to be limited anymore. When Terry and I first married, we were very broke, but we were so in love. So it didn't matter. But she'd go to the grocery store and she'd have her list, and each week she'd get her 99-cent can of Minute Maid orange juice. Frozen. We bought it frozen because you had to take it home and stir it yourself. Because if you bought it like somebody already put it in a jug for you, it cost a whole lot more. So we bought the frozen kind, and then we had to go home and stir and stir and stir until that big lump melted. But that was our orange juice. And on a good week, she might buy two cans. And we could always tell how good we were doing financially by how many cans she could buy each week. That's limitations. Brother, now, I mean, she goes to the store. I say, hey, I want some pineapple juice. Or I want some of this juice or that juice. She doesn't bring it home in the can anymore. Thank the Lord. My stirring arm got tired. We're not crazy with our money, but I'm just telling you, we're not limited in those ways that we were when we were first young and married and broke. Why? Because God has taken away some of those limitations, praise the Lord. That poverty situation, that poverty mindset, it's been lifted off of us. And God wants to do the same for you, amen? I wrote this down yesterday, and this is really what the Lord wants to do in our life. What has been is not the determinant for what can be.
Ooh, yes.
Cue the Hammond organ. That's time to start dancing right there. What has been is not the determinant for what can be. What has been your experience up until now is not determining necessarily your future.
Yes. Praise the Lord.
Your faith is.
Amen.
Your faith is. And as you're hearing the word today, what, like Paul said there in the book of Acts, the word of his grace is actually building you up. It's lifting you up to a new height in your understanding of what's been given to you as an inheritance in Christ Jesus. And folks, I'm telling you, it's unfathomable riches. Yeah. And it's time we awaken to it. Yeah. We've been delivered from the world system with its excessive yokes of taxation and all its limitations on us. If you're a person who worries each year about the price of this or the price of gas or what's my property tax going to be this year, listen, if you're concerned about those things overly, you're allowing the world to press you into a limited box. I'm just telling you, you're limited by the world. Yeah. We're not under that system anymore. Do you get it? Yes. We've been delivered. The Bible says in Colossians, you've been delivered from the power, the dominion of darkness. Mm-hmm. Did you ever notice the government never lets up unless we get a really, really good president in there, and he gives us a tax relief kind of, you know, thing. I remember years ago we got one of those, and we said, man, we've been wanting to buy this video camera forever. Now the government helped us buy a video camera, praise the Lord. That doesn't happen every day, and it doesn't happen every year, let me assure you, because they're usually always pressing us for what? More. It's never enough. The toll road's always going up. I've never gotten a refund yet that when I've gone through the toll booth where they said, you know, you paid this much last year, Mr. Anderson. We got the road paid for, so we're going to give you a discount today when you go through. No, it's always more.
Yeah, that's right.
Because the world system is pressing for more. They're under a curse. They're under darkness. That's why, listen, no use in fussing about taxes. They're always going to be that way. That is the world. That's the Babylonian system that the world is under. We're not under that system.
That's right.
We are delivered into the kingdom of light. Now, you say, well, Pastor, come on. We still live in a world. Yeah, you do. But you're delivered.
That's right.
And it can show in your finances. It can. I'm telling you, it can. You don't have to be worried about taxes this next year. You don't have to live under that oppression if you'll hear the word of the Lord today. If you'll let it build you up and give you an inheritance, you don't have to live by those kind of limitations.
Yeah.
What do I mean by that? God can bring money in the back door to pay every bill that comes your way. He can lift you out of any taxation. I don't care how, you know, if the price of gas goes up to $10 a gallon, it doesn't matter. God can bring the money in the back.
That's right.
Amen. If you'll believe him.
Amen.
He did not call us to live in this world under the oppression of the government or the oppression of the world system. If you believe it.
Amen.
And here's where he wants to take us. From being consumers to being providers. From being a consumer to being a provider. And that's a big mind shift change. Because most of us are concerned about what we can get out of life. And God wants to make you a channel to give somebody else something that they're struggling with. Amen?
Amen.
Two of you have it. God wants to make you a provider. He wants to raise up millionaires. Why? Because he's got to get things done. So we can get on out of here. Jesus is coming. We got to get the word out. The church needs to grow. People need to hear the gospel. Amen?
Amen.
There's missionaries to be sent. There's churches to build other places. There's buses to buy, I'm sure. There's, paint for the children's department, whatever. There's all kinds of needs in the kingdom, and it never ends.
That's it. Yep.
And God needs people to help fund those things.
Right.
Will you be the one?
Yes.
God wants to raise up millionaires. Are you saying Jesus suffered so we could have $1 million, Pastor? No, I'm not saying that. But billion is more than most of us can stomach yet, so I'm going to use million. I'm going to work you up. We'll talk about billion next year. By the way, billion, when we say billion, that's a number with 9 zeros in it. And then what comes after that? Trillion, that's 12 zeros. Octillion is 27 zeros. Centillion is 303 zeros. And that's just pocket change to God.
That's right.
See, most of us have really, really, when we hear phrases like poor as a church mouse, we believe that nonsense. We see God as being poor. It's interesting getting ready for, you know, renovating this building. I would talk to different contractors and people, and they would make comments, and I appreciate their heart. I really do. Actually, I appreciate the sentiment and the practice. They'd say things like, well, this is for a church, so I'll try not to go too hard on you on price. I'm like, great. but what are they saying in that? We consider churches to be broke. The world thinks we're broke. Hey, we're the delivered ones. We're just getting our engines revved up. Some of you are just starting to get into tithing. You're starting to realize, whew, pressure's off. Hallelujah. I'm starting to pay my bills. I'm not in the red anymore. I'm in the black. Praise God. That oppression's lifting off of me. I'm making my way. The devourer's been rebuked. Things are lasting longer. Amen. You're starting to grow in this thing we call kingdom finances. The world still thinks we're broke. I'm telling you, we're delivered. We're the free ones. Now, we're not materialistic. It's not like we have to live to have stuff. You know, the world flaunts that, but most of them are broke, honestly. They're doing a lot of that on charge cards anyways, but that's their identity. It's really not about the number of zeros. But the world has us conditioned for limitation. And Jesus didn't suffer so you could be rich. He suffered to give you His riches.
Amen.
It's even better. That's what I'm telling you. Well, Paul said things like unspeakable, unsearchable. It is. It's more than what we... Because most preachers don't preach this. Because they're afraid people think they're out for their money. I'm not out for your money. I'm out for your money. You get what I'm saying? I'm not out for your money coming this way. I'm out for you to get the money the Lord has provided for you. That's why I'm telling you this today. It's true. Jesus has died to give you His riches, to bestow on you His riches. Don't take my word for it. Let's look in the Bible, see what it says in Romans chapter 5. Flip over to Romans chapter 5. I'm really not here to preach on money today, but this verse is the theme of my sermon, and it does affect our money. It affects how you look at money. It affects how you relate to money. See, some of you, when you got saved, when you got born again, you were doing okay. Some of you have had good jobs for years, and you've done okay on your own. That's fine. Now you're in the kingdom. Now you're a child of God.
Amen.
You're delivered. Just like the rest of us. And Paul said this comment about saints to the Corinthians. He said this, not many mighty have been chosen. You ever heard that phrase?
Yeah.
That's going to make a good book one day. Not many mighty. You see, God doesn't go out and save all the people in the world who really have their act together. They're great businessmen. They've got their millions, you know, because they were such good, you know, efficient people. No, He saves the broken. He saves the fools who spend everything. He saves those who have nothing because they're just dumb with money. Why? So He can build them up and restore their dignity.
Amen.
And give them a life that expresses His majesty, His honor, His wealth. But some of you in our midst, you know, like I said, you came into this, you were already doing okay. That's great. God's got more.
Amen.
He's got more for you, even than you can do for yourself. Amen. Look at Romans 5. These promises are for all of us, the weak and the strong alike. Amen. Romans 5:17. If by one man's offense, talking about Adam, death reigned by one, much more. You should circle that or underline it, highlight it, color it. That is screaming right there. Much more. They which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall what? Reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Now I want to unpack that verse a little bit here. First of all, I want to say this. You and I are called to reign in life, not just survive. We're called to thrive.
Amen.
You got to get that vision up here. I'm not just here to survive. See, that's the way the world thinks. If I can just get till Friday, don't let those words come out of your mouth ever again. If I could just make it till Friday, those of you that are still working day jobs, if I could just... No, every day is a day of thriving for you in Jesus. Every day is a day for God to get His wealth and His power and His goodness to you. He's running after you. We sing that song around here all the time. I think they were going to sing it today, but we didn't make it that far. But His goodness is running after us.
Amen.
When you wake up in the morning, if you don't have anything else to be excited about, you ought to be excited because God's goodness is chasing you down. Now that you're in Christ, His goodness is chasing you down. But He says here, notice He says, those who receive not just grace. Did you notice the wording? You know, Paul was an attorney. Attorneys are good with words. Man, they can paint pictures because that's what they do. They present a case. So when God chose a man to write 2/3 of the New Testament, He got the right guy when He chose Paul, didn't He? Paul was a lawyer, man. He was a lawyer extraordinaire, and he could paint pictures. I'm memorizing Romans right now, and man, chapter 1, there's some verses in there where he just goes on and on and on. I mean, it's like, come on, God, just say it, you know? But no, he's saying it from this angle, saying it from that angle, and he's adding adjectives left and right. And I'm telling you, God had the right man. And so when he wrote Romans 5:17, what did he say? Those who receive grace. No. Those who receive the abundance of grace. God has not just given his children, you and I, grace. He's given us an abundance of grace. How much is that? Well, I like to think of God, you know, he created the sun. It's bigger than I can imagine. Niagara Falls is bigger than I can imagine. There's all kinds of examples in this world that show us the fathomlessness of our God. And so when we say abundance, I'm sure we'll never exhaust it. Just know that about God's grace. You will never exhaust God's grace. You will never exhaust it. It's an abundance. Say abundance. And that's what motivated him to do the next thing. Give us the gift of righteousness. Say the gift of righteousness. Why on earth would God give us the gift of righteousness? Because his heart was overflowing with an abundance of grace. Hey, if he wanted to judge the world, he would have struck them all dead by now, including us, for our sin. No, God said, I've got grace in my heart towards you. For God so loved. He didn't just love, he so loved. Right? You ever been so loved by somebody? They just can't, you growing up, some of you had grandmas, and when they see you coming, they just, all that goopy lipstick, they just smother your face with kisses. Man, that's called so loved. That's an abundance of grace. And God feels that way about us. Amen? He is smothering with love toward us. I don't know if that's a word, but it just came to me. By the way, that phrase, the gift of righteousness, in the Young's literal translation, it says the free gift of righteousness. That's a good reminder, isn't it? The gift of righteousness that we enveloped us when we got saved, it was a free gift. And folks, we need to be reminded constantly, it's free.
Amen.
It's free. You can't earn it. There's nothing you can do to produce God's gift of righteousness. No, it's free. It's free for us. Hallelujah. Now, I told you to underline that phrase much more. Did you know that phrase? That is so powerful. It's found five times, count them, five times in Romans chapter 5, the phrase much more. You think God's trying to say something?
Yes.
Whatever you need today, God's got much more for you than that. Much more for your need. You say, well, Pastor, you don't know how much I'm in debt. I'm telling you, God's got much more.
Yes, he does.
Much more. Much more. And the salvation he's given us, listen, if he gave us salvation just because we believed, right? You got saved by faith through grace, the verse says in Ephesians chapter 2. By grace through faith. Listen, every other blessing is going to come to you and I by grace through faith. Amen? Just by believing. Do you believe God wants to give you some good stuff?
Oh, yes.
I'm telling you, you've got to put your faith out there.
Yeah.
It's going to be a lot of Christians that get to heaven and go, oh. Oh. They're so shocked by the wealth that God has in heaven. He's more than a centillionaire with 303 zeros. They're going to get to heaven and go, I thought God was poor. I thought God wanted to keep us humble. I thought good, godly people were broke. They're going to have such a revelation hit them. And then it's going to dawn on them what they could have had in this life in the way of God's goodness. And that's why the Bible says he's going to wipe away every tear from our eyes. Because they realize what they could have had. I'm telling you, God has so much more. Listen to this. God has already given you much more by grace than you could ever acquire by your own efforts.
Amen.
I'm preaching to your salvation today. This is your salvation. This is why the Bible says the gospel is actually for the poor. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's anointed me to preach. What was the first group he talked about? Good news to the poor. There's some people in this world need some lifting. They don't just need a handout. What they need is the gospel. Because in the hearing of the good news, it will build them up. It will give them an inheritance. They can walk into this wealth that I'm talking about today. And I'm not just talking about money. I'm talking about wealth in every arena. Peace of mind.
Yes. Amen.
Peace in the family. You can't put a price on that.
Right.
That is wealth.
Right.
Kids doing the right thing. That's wealth. And it comes through the hearing of faith. It comes through the hearing of the message of grace. Praise the Lord. You notice he says in the last part of that verse, the people that receive these two things, abundance of grace, the gift of righteousness, they will what? Reign in life. I love what the contemporary English version says. It says, they'll live like a king. They'll live like kings. That's good. You hear that phrase, you know? So-and-so, he lives like a king. What does that mean? He's got a lavish life. He's got more than he could ever need. His needs are provided for. His wants are provided for. He's got it good. He's over there sitting in his hammock, sipping orange juice. You thought I was going to say something else. Orange juice.
Yes.
And it's not that frozen kind you have to stir forever and ever and ever and ever. So what do we learn from this verse? Those who receive reign. Those, say that with me. Those who receive reign. Who are those who reign in life? Those who receive. And see, this is counter our logic. Man's way is to achieve. Say achieve.
Achieve.
The Olympics are on right now, right? Some of you watch it, some of you love it, some of you don't care much. It doesn't matter. The Olympics are about people achieving something, right? We're driven in humanity to achieve greatness, to achieve through our effort the gold. Man's way is to achieve. God's way is to receive. And this is why so many stumble at the gospel. It's too good to be true. It's too good to be true. You know, years ago it was pointed out to me, and I never thought of it like this, but I want to say this. Terrorism, Islamic terrorism, is a form of self-righteousness. Have you thought about it like that? These people are blowing themselves up. They're killing people around them and even putting themselves in harm's way, even to the point of suicide, jihadist type behavior. Why? They're trying to earn a place with Allah. You know, this place in heaven and all these promises of a great life. They're being promised something, and in their self-righteousness, they're driven. It's human nature to cover ourselves with fig leaves, to deal with our own sin. And what do humans do? They even go to an extreme, killing other humans in an effort for self-righteousness. But the gospel presents a message that says you can be set right with God by receiving what Jesus did. It's too good to be true.
Amen.
That's the gospel.
That's right.
Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Praise the Lord. Wow, the time has flown by. It's like this year. I said earlier, the greatest blessing, salvation, came to us by grace through faith. If that the greatest blessing came to us that way, every other lesser blessing comes to us the same way.
That's right. Amen. That's
now, you could teach a five-year-old this. It's not that hard. By grace through faith. By grace through faith. That's how every blessing comes to you. The greatest blessing, our salvation came that way. Every other blessing. Money for your bills, health for your body, peace for your children, soundness of mind. Every blessing we can seek in this life comes to us by grace through faith. And for certain, those blessings are lesser. Money is a lesser blessing, amen, than peace. I want to say this. What I'm talking to you about doing, when we talk about receiving, those who receive will reign in life. This is without feeling. This faith walk we've been talking about for months now is without feeling. Now, a lot of people come to church and they I don't know, I didn't grow up in a church like this, but some people go to churches and I guess there's a kind of a bit of emotionalism that gets stirred up and they leave with a good feeling. But that doesn't mean that they left in faith.
That's right.
Because faith doesn't have anything to do with your feelings.
That's right.
Nothing. Absolutely. Nothing. Nothing in your circumstances could have changed, and you can hear the word of grace and go, by his stripes, I'm healed.
Amen.
Ouch, I still feel pain. Ouch, by his stripes, I'm healed. Why? Because it's not about what you're feeling in your body at that moment.
Yeah.
You can go home, and you can walk in the house, and you can see another envelope there on your desk that someone helped put, said, here's the mail, Mom. And you can see there's another envelope, and you can tell before you ever open it, it's somebody asking for money. Mm-hmm. I know I'm late on that bill. You can see that day after day, and you can walk in another day after church today, and you can go, nothing's changed outwardly, but by faith.
Yes.
Amen.
I receive.
Amen.
The abundance of grace.
Yes.
My God is a centennial, whatever, centillion, octanillion. He is a cajillion, whatever he is. He has got money beyond our imagination.
Amen.
And when you came into Christ, listen, like it or not, this is not a splinter teaching of the gospel. This is the part of the gospel. I haven't even opened the book towards 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 where it says, for our sake he became poor that we might be made rich.
Yes.
We're talking about here in Romans 5, made righteous. We haven't hardly touched the made rich. But I'm just telling you, when you got saved, you got brought into a rich family.
Amen.
A wealthy father. Hallelujah. Amen. I wrote these two thoughts down. Jesus didn't suffer to make us a better person. He didn't suffer to make us help us get more money. He suffered to give us His righteousness. And He suffered to give us His wealth, His riches, heaven's wealth at our disposal for our needs. Hallelujah. His righteousness. Praise the Lord. So that we can move from a position of saying, well, I'm concerned about getting my bills paid. No, now you're concerned about getting other people's bills paid.
Yes.
See the difference? God wants to make providers out of you, all of you.
Hallelujah.
He wants to make suppliers out of all of us.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. You notice in the prodigal story, just another example of God's abounding wealth, His abundance of grace. In the prodigal story, it says, when the son came home, the father said, and I like it in the NIV, Luke 15, 22, he said, quick. And he didn't say, bring the robe. He said, bring the best robe.
That's right.
Yes. That's the heart of our Father. Bring the best robe. Folks, I'm telling you, if you'll stick around in Christ long enough, you'll find God wants to bring you into the best of life.
Amen.
I mean, the best things in life. And it's not about being caught up in materialism. It's not about being, you know, it's not about what's the little. Since I was a kid, I was always intrigued by these kids around me that had these silly logos on their shirts, you know, these embroidered little whatever. And I think, that costs all that money just for that little silly thing embroidered there. It's silliness. We're not caught up in that kind of silliness. But God wants to give you good things. He wants you to taste His goodness in this life. Hallelujah. Not about being not about status symbols or trying to up one over the Joneses, you know, trying to get one up over them. No, it's not about that at all. But I do want to say this in closing. Why would you put in a withdrawal slip for $35 when you have rightful access to a billion, even a centillion, in the bank?
That's
right. If you need some cash and you got $1,000 in the bank, you got $100,000 in the bank, you got $1 million in the bank, you don't go down there and just get a piddly little $35, $20. No, you draw based on what you have access to. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you, folks, we haven't learned to draw yet.
Yeah.
But we're going to.
Amen.
That's why I'm preaching this. Why? Because we're responsible. We're the last leg of the race, potentially.
Yes.
We might be the final generation on this
yes.
earth that represents to the world, to demons, to angels, before the Father who's looking over the banister watching us in real time. We are representatives of all that Jesus died to give us. Other generations may not have taken advantage of this, but they may not have put their faith on the line to reach out and take what I'm talking to you about taking today. But I'm telling you, we are that generation.
Amen.
And we can take it by faith. We can be receivers who reign in life.
Amen.
Satan's two lies to two men show his strategy in this area. He said to Adam, he said, God knows when you eat the fruit, you'll become like Him, knowing good and evil. First of all, who wants to know evil? Man, wouldn't it be great to go back, you know, in your mind, in your life, in your experience to childhood where all you knew was innocence?
Yes.
That's a great thing.
Amen.
And they were already like gods, by the way. Mm-hmm. Adam and Eve had everything. But Satan tried to convince them that God was holding out. He did the same thing with Jesus. He said, if you are the Son of God. Notice he took one word out of that sentence. Jesus had been told at the River Jordan, you are my beloved son.
Hallelujah.
You're not just connected to me. You're loved by me.
Mm.
And when Satan tempted him, he said, if you are the, he took out beloved. He said, if you are the Son of God.
Mm.
He's always trying to reduce in our hearts and in our minds the image of God that we have and how good God is. I'm telling you, He's a good God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Faith comes by hearing. The more you hear this message, the more you're going to grow into it.
Yes.
There was a season in my life where I listened to a series over and over again on the wealth transfer. There was a minister who had preached this great message. I got several of his CDs, and I just listened to it over and over and over again. And it was not long before I stepped into a season. This word produced in my life such abundance. Now, it was for a purpose. We were getting ready to go on a trip to Israel in 2018. It's not a cheap trip, mind you. It costs a good amount, but it's worth it. It's worth every penny. And I needed to bolster my faith in this arena. And as I listened to the word over and over and over again, I'm telling you, some miracle things just started breaking out in our finances. Folks, Paul said it in Acts 20:32. He said, "The word of his grace is able to build you up and give you an inheritance." Amen. Amen. Stand together with me.